Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Saturday Night Get-Together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Football heavy show tonight, understandable, because the league is back. Preseason games going on all over the place, and a lot of stories breaking both on and off the field. Here to lend us some insight is a guy who played for years in the league, is trying to become a media member as well, doing some writing for the website The Score these days. Former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfeld joins us. Sage, Jordan McDonald here in New York. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I'm actually on my way to my daughter's soccer game out here in Denver, Colorado. So enjoying the mountains, and I'm enjoying this preseason football as well.
Now, what took you out to Colorado? You an ex-Colorado guy?
No, just I live in Omaha, Nebraska, and my daughter plays for a premier soccer team in Omaha, and we're traveling out here to play in a big tournament. So 1-0 going into our second match of the day. I just say she's 1-0 going into her second match of the day.
All right. Now, you played in the league forever and played in front of some tough crowds, Redskins. That can be a tough crowd and the like. What is it like to have the shoe on the other foot now? You have to be a supposed well-behaved member of the crowd. Easier or harder than you thought?
It was harder at first, and then I spoke to one of my daughter's coaches a couple years ago when she really started getting into the more competitive aspects of soccer, and she said, you know, there's really only four aspects of a sport. You've got the players, you've got the coaches, you've got the fans, and you've got the officials, and you really can only be one, and you have to choose one and stick with it. So I'm sticking to be a parent, so I try to be as positive as possible and not say much to the referees. That's the coach's job.
Very nice. And tell your daughter we said good luck. We appreciate you coming on with us for a couple minutes. Got some NFL issues to tackle with you, including the suspension that was laid out for Ezekiel Elliott, six games. He is certainly going to try and beat it one way or the other. He'll go through the appeal process. And if not, potentially go through the league in a lawsuit, as Tom Brady did. Is this a bad sign for the NFL that it has come to this, that guys are immediately thinking, well, we'll go through the appeal process. If not, we'll just sue?
Well, I think this issue, which you hoped it would have been more cleaned up, you know, after the Ray Rice incident and how that thing was really mishandled by the NFL, you really hope that there would be a little bit more black and white answers to when these problems, you know, came up. But it looks like they're becoming more and more confusing, you know, with each instance. I mean, in this situation, you've got a player that, if I recall, has not been charged with a crime. There's obviously this incident or whatever. And he's going to get six games. The NFL wants to come down hard on domestic violence, which is, you know, very understandable. Six games is a lot of football. And, but, you know, on the other incident, you know, that, you know, Josh Brown, the kicker for the New York Giants last year, he got a game, for domestic violence issues. So there doesn't seem to be any sort of, reason as to what Roger Goodell and what he's, ruling that he's making, you know, on these suspensions. I will say this, it does seem like, that Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys, it does seem like that they all, have some concern about a lot of his incidents, which seem to be following him around, or that he's in the middle of, whether it goes back to college or now in his short time in the NFL.
And his short time has been very productive on the field, but off the field, issues attached. You were part of a couple different collective bargaining agreements. Did the Players Association do a good enough job of negotiating how punishment is merited out in the National Football League? It seems like the NFL has a lot of power, and that's why we're now seeing lawsuits, because the NFLPA might not have given themselves enough strength in a position of fighting suspensions if they think they're too harsh. Is the union doing its job for its player these days in collective bargaining?
Well, I think the union made a mistake it was back in 2011 during the last CBA negotiations of not, you know, really standing at a sort of a red line and saying we really want a third party, some sort of arbitrator, some sort of person that is not whether on the NFLPA side or the NFL side, some sort of third party. And, you know, I think Roger Goodell really stuck his foot in the ground, you know, on that. And I actually think the last CBA that the players lost in a lot of ways. I think, you know, salary-wise, the salary cap did not grow in those first couple years, and a lot of agents were contracts that were, you know, similar to things that were happening in 2005, 6, and 7. So I don't think it was a great negotiation for the players. We all know the complexities of that negotiation process for the players, being that NFL careers are so short compared to, say, baseball or basketball, where players can have, you know, 12, 15-year careers, and you know, that window is much larger. NFL player careers are very, very short, and they try to maximize them, and the threat to sit out a full season isn't very strong by the players until they actually do it at some point.
And they may have to actually go to a work stoppage if they're going to get certain things changed. Former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfeld, now writing for thescore.com these days, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Do want to get your take on a couple of quarterbacks in the news, and he's been there for a while now, is Colin Kaepernick. First with the protests that he put forth in season last year, this season without being signed, how much is that attributable to his stances and the causes that he's trying to back? How much of it is that, check his record from the last couple of years, and he hasn't won games. He's put up some numbers, but not the kind of numbers he did when he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. He seems to me to be one of the 64 best quarterbacks on the planet, which means he should be in somebody's camp at least competing for a backup job. Is the NFL, if not collectively, individually saying more headaches than it is worth in upside? Is there something as strong as a group they've decided they just don't need Colin Kaepernick? Or is Kaepernick not done enough to let people know what his stances are or what they might be going forward as to why he's not in someone's camp right now?
Well, I have written a couple articles throughout this sort of spring and summer on Kaepernick's actual just ability. Let's take out him kneeling. Let's take out you know, people being upset that he knelt. You know, all those types of things. And if you look at just his numbers, you've got some NFL head coaches like Pete Carroll up in Seattle saying he's an NFL starter. And at the worst, you can't find an NFL coach that say he's not good enough to be a backup in the league. I have him as anywhere from as high as 20th in the league, but probably more something like 30th to 40th in the league as far as quarterbacks are concerned. So is there distraction? Yes, there is. Is that distraction all on him? No, it's not. I mean, he was the initial obviously instigator of the whole thing with him, you know, taking his stance on a very serious issue in this country. But really the distraction is the media. If you ask the 49ers last year, you ask Chip Kelly, who is a very, very strong advocate of the military, was he a distraction on the team last year with his protest? And they all said no. So I don't believe that's a part of the thing. I think that's an excuse that he's a distraction is why he's not signed. I think that that teams don't want to deal with it. Teams don't want to deal with losing, you know, possibly money from their fan base, from season tickets, from people watching football games. I think there's a lot of confusion as to why he knelt and what he was standing up against. At no time did he say that all cops are bad police. At no time did he say that he was against the military. He said actually just the opposite. So, but I think it's pretty obvious at this point with, you know, all the videos that we see on Twitter or Facebook that, you know, there's issues where police are too harsh or go over the line and they're dealing with civilians. That's just the way it goes. And I think he's calling out, you know, that fact. And I think it is a fact. And I think that we look back on our history. We look at Muhammad Ali and other great athletes in our past and say, man, they were not only great athletes, but, you know, really heroic for standing up for human rights. And I'd like to think in 15 or 20 years, we'll look back and say, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he wasn't a great quarterback. He wasn't as talented as Muhammad Ali or Roberto Clemente or some of these other great athletes. But you know what? He stood up for what he felt is right. And he also walk to walk this entire offseason. He's been doing good deeds all around the country, donating money to different inner city groups and handing out suits to parolees. He's been nothing but a really exemplary citizen of the United States. He took a knee, and people are offended by that. But I think there is a lot of confusion as to, you know, why he took that knee. And as I said at the beginning of this whole thing, I think he's a top 40 quarterback. And I think that other than maybe about five or six NFL teams who've got really good, you know, quality backups like the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins with Garoppolo and Matt Moore, I think those other teams are making a mistake by not signing him because he's probably better than their current backup situation.
And then let me ask you this. If the media had a hand in on continuing this story, growing this story and the like, which I think is fair, couldn't the media be part of the solution as well? Because right now, Colin Kaepernick, you mentioned some of the offseason actions that he's taken, and there are mentions every once in a while on social media. But he hasn't done any kind of an interview, be it radio, television, print, with a very respected journalist who will treat him fairly, not try and roast him, but also not try and ask him softballs. Isn't there something that could be set up between him and, as I say, a respected member of the media that could help put some more distinct details as to what he did, why he did it, and what he will or won't do going forward, and maybe clear up some of the questions and give him a different perspective in the eyes of the 32 teams in the National Football League?
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think from all sides of this conversation, that has been the one thing that's been missing is, you know, Colin, how, if you feel so strongly about this and you want to play and yada, 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 why don't you come out and do, you know, a big interview? It's going to get, you know, huge ratings. Go on 60 Minutes. Go on, you know, one of the national networks and speak your mind and speak that you want to play football and speak about the good deeds that you're trying to do and some of the issues that you're trying to fix in this country. He has not done that. And this is my own personal belief. I believe that he's not doing that for a reason. I think that the actions that are currently going on around the NFL, the rhetoric that people say in the media, and the fact that he has not been signed, I think that is doing all the speaking that he needs to speak. I think that is those actions speak much louder than any word that Colin Kaepernick could say.
So he'd rather be a martyr?
I think he probably came to a point. You know, he made a lot of money, and I understand this as being a former NFL player. Once you make a certain amount of money in life, you can sort of say, you know what, I'm going to speak my mind. If anyone follows me on Twitter, I definitely do it. I'm fairly politically active on Twitter myself.
Okay.
And I think that it's, you get to a point, you say, you know, I'm going to speak my mind. You only live once. If people don't want to, you know, pay me more money to do an appearance or pay me more money to do some job, so be it. But I think life's too short to, you know, to not use your First Amendment rights or freedom of speech. And so I think that he's made enough money in his career that he knows he doesn't have to have the NFL anymore. I know he wants to play, but he doesn't have to have it anymore. And that allows him to sort of take a certain stance and stick his foot in the ground and stay where he is on the subject.
All right, but here's where I think he's missing out on it. When he decided to take the knee and everyone knew what it stood for and the like, and he was able to get his message out afterwards in front of a full media crowd in a 49er locker room, he used the bully pulpit that he did. To my liking, I don't think that was the right time or place. That's your job. That's the NFL. You want to fight the fight for what you think, against what you think is wrong. You well should, but you got to do it the right place, right time. If he had the right bully pulpit, as I'm saying, you mentioned 60 Minutes. It could be SportsCenter. It could be on CBS Sports Radio or wherever else is going to happen. He should take advantage of that. That pulpit is out there for him right now. And he seems to be turning up his nose at it. He took it when he needed it. And now when he could not only need it again, but also clarify some things and maybe continue to help get his message out there, he seems to be dodging it. I think he's making a mistake.
Well, I think everyone has their opinion on it. And I think a lot of times, I'm a white man myself. We all get to have an opinion about what others should do as far as the way they protest and when they protest and how they protest. But at the end of the day, I believe that, you know, he took he had a peaceful protest. He took a stance, or I should say a knee, you know, on the issue, but it was peaceful. People get upset when there's violent protests, as we're seeing today in Charlottesville. People get upset when people block highways because that really interrupts society. He took a very, very peaceful protest, yet it still bothers, you know, a lot of people because it wasn't the way, you know, they wanted him to protest. And protested, and sometimes they can be inconvenient. They can bother people. That's really the whole point, is to gain that attention. And yes, I do agree with you. You know, it would be great if he could speak out, you know, go on CBS radio, go on 60 Minutes, whatever it might be. He has it would be 100 million people would probably, you know, watch that thing and see what he has to say. But he has decided not to take that stance. I believe it is possible because he wants to, as I said before, sort of let the action speak louder than his words of what the NFL is doing. And on top of it, I think that he wants to probably not be a distraction anymore. I think he wants to be a guy who's just going to go about and do his job and not going to be in the media and create, you know, stirring up this controversy. He made his stance known. He made his actions known. And he said that a few months ago that he's not going to kneel this year. He's not going to even bring up the whole thing this year. He wants to just go back to playing football, yet he has not been signed.
All right, last thing, and we'll go full circle. You told us at the top that you're going to your daughter's game and you have adjusted. You have now become a fan and know how to handle yourself in a crowd situation and not get crazed by your daughter's play or the referee or the team they're playing against, which isn't always easy for a guy who was a former player. Well, you did some work in front of that Washington Redskin crowd, which can be a very volatile, outspoken, driven, and passionate fan base. Kirk Cousins this year, probably the last year of a one-year deal with the Redskins. They're either going to need to sign him to a long-term deal or probably watch him walk out the door. A lot of pressure on him this year. How does the fan base in Washington handle it? Do you think they're all there for Kirk to push him and tell him that they want him to be their full-time quarterback? If he gets off to a slow start, will he be booed out of the nation's capital? How are the Redskins fans going to handle Cousins this season?
Well, it's a very tough scenario, and you know, you always can blame the quarterback, but I think most, you know, Washington fans will agree that for the most part, you know, Kirk Cousins has been, you know, everything you want, you know, out of the leader of your football team. I mean, he was a fourth round draft pick. He's a guy, he's a blue collar guy who sort of worked his way up, and he's had two or three really good seasons as their quarterback. So, you know, I think you root for the guy and you hope he plays so well that he wants to stay. I think you hope that, you know, they go to the second or third round of the playoffs or win a Super Bowl and that he wants to stay. He wants to stay in that football team. But, you know, if he doesn't want to be in Washington, you know, there's a place out there out on the West Coast in the Bay Area that, you know, really, really wants and they really, really need a quarterback. So, and, you know, at the end of the day, I don't blame Kirk Cousins at all in this situation. I blame the Washington Redskins in this situation. They have a history of sort of screwing up, you know, contract, you know, situations with their players. And for the most part, in the history of the National Football League, if you've got a really good franchise quarterback, with Washington has a franchise quarterback, you don't even let him get to his contract here. You sign him to a long-term extension, even if you're overpaying him. That's just the way it goes. You want a franchise quarterback, you're probably going to have to overpay him, as most NFL teams have been doing over the course of the last 5 or 6 years.
Sage, good stuff. I appreciate the minutes that you gave us here today. Again, wish your daughter good luck for us and enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
My pleasure. That is Sage Rosenfeld, former NFL quarterback, writing these days for the website thescore.com, giving us some good NFL insight. Jody Mack keeping the NFL talk going. Do so on the phones with you, 855-212-4CBS. The Saturday Night Gathering continues here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.